session number 20160 being full.
Marvellous things,
aren't they? Oh, yeah. Well, it saves me a lot of effort, you see.
Of course it
does. Because I'd have to write it all down.
No, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Did you come down on the metro?
Yes, yes, yeah.
Long flight to come.
Oh, it was, well, it only took us an hour. Because I've got timed it all right. Did you, I mean, when you were working, I mean, you're a woman who went to the shipyards during the war. What did you feel about the sort of... did you feel patriotic about what you were doing?
Oh, yes, I felt I was doing my bit.
Uh-huh.
I needed the money.
Uh-huh.
But I was doing my bit. Uh-huh. And I thought, well, we couldn't do any more, because Churchill says we'll even fight in the streets. And
What about the... what happened at the end of the Second World War? Did you just get paid off again?
Yes, we had to go to the labour exchange and put our books in and we were finished.
When was that?
That was the end of the war in
1945. But you didn't work on after the end of the war?
No, they were finished, you see, with the women then.
And what did you feel about that?
Yeah, I missed it.
Uh-huh.
I got used to it because...
So you had it twice? Paid off twice. Do you think you could have made a sort of a life out of working in the shipyard?
Yes, I could. I could,
I think it should have been different, so you could have...
I had one or two Sundays, mainly mate.
Uh-huh.
Cleaning lifeboats and with paint them when their ships had to be ready soon to go out. Oh, aye. Many a Sunday we got in that made our wages bigger.
What kind of money were you getting then? What money were you getting in the Second World War?
In the Second World War? I think it was £22.
£22? Well, that's a lot of money.
It was a lot of money, but the things were starting to get dear. And maybe that was a bit overtime in with that. Maybe a Sunday, well, but I know...
It sounds too much, because I've heard the most I've heard anybody say they were getting in the Second World War was about £8.
Well,
£8.
I had 30 odd in the First World War in the North East End.
Well, 30 shilling. You were getting 30 shilling in the First World War.
Yes, I've getting mixed up with the shilling.
Right.
No, I think it would be about 10 to 12, maybe £10.
That sounds... With the Sundays, that would sound right. Was that the same kind of money as... As the men were getting?
No, the men were getting more.
Uh-huh. What did you feel?
A bit more than that.
What did you feel about that?
That we never seemed to, never seemed to worry about it. I don't know what the labourers were getting men. Uh-huh. This is the men that had served that time, the fitters and all them, they got a bit more than us, and joiners and...
What did you do after the war then?
Went out cleaning houses. Went back up the farm, picked potatoes. Picked them. We set them in Easter, and we picked them in September. We spread the drills with the. You never see that now. Manure. These are these. The cart used to set them so many in the drills apart, and you had to take your fork and spread it forward at potatoes.
Yeah.
And foot apart at each potato, you see. And then in September we picked them. And then in October we cut turnips. I've seen the ice on the turnips when we've had to cut them. And you took two drills up at a time, you know.
Yeah.
And two back. And that was what you got in the morning, did in the morning. Two drills up, two drills down. And then that done when you just did one drill up and a half of one, because the left unknown what didn't seem to be as long as the moon. But I loved it. I used to drive the horse with the hay time right up to top fields for a peck of hay. There were flat bogies and the horse pulled it, and used to drive the horse down all the way down the road, bring it in the stackyard, and some of the hames was making the great big stack.
Yeah,
I mean to see, I must have been a strong lass.
Oh, yeah, it must have been. How much did you get for that then?
One 3 a day.
Yeah, 1 3 a day. Not as good as working in the shipyard.
And a bucket of taties at the weekend when you're coming home.
So you used to do that. So, I mean, how much did you get for your cleaning?
0.5 crown. I did a big washing. Bang at them.
They got 0.5 crown for the washing?
Uh-huh.
That was, when was that, after the war?
That was both, that was after the war. And used to go on the Monday to wash, got a 0.5 crown. And on the Thursday, 0.5 day to do the rooms upstairs.
But who was it for?
For the farm. The one of the sons got married and he took the bottom farm, didn't he?
Yeah.
Because my sister was in the house at the top farm. Yeah. That was how she got me to go there.
Yeah. What, she lived in as a housekeeper, did she?
Yes.
Right. How long was she there for?
Oh, she was there a lot of years.
She didn't get married, did she not?
She married, she's a widow, there's only two were left, she's a widow, which is 5 years younger than me. She's in one of them homes, you know, down at the bottom of the bank, you know, where there's a lot of the widows live in. Bedsitters, you know.
Yeah, I know, sheltered accommodation.
Sheltered, she's in one of them.
Yeah, my grandma lives in that. And, you were saying about the men swearing. I mean, the men swore in front of you, did they?
Well, you couldn't blame them. They forgot the war. And some of the fellas, hey, there's women here, you know. And when they looked round, they got shocked. They forgot, you know, they're natural.
When they found out there was women there.
Yes.
I mean, how did they react? Did they get embarrassed? Or?
They just turned their heads away. I used to say, oh, we take no notice. It's got nothing to do with us. So I said, well, we should worry us. Just went and did all the water good. She can cook anything now. And Mary, she went into Ropley when she left school. She was in there a long time. And of course, the youngest lad said he's trying to be a joiner, and he had to go away for this conscription for the 2 years, you know.
Just going back, I mean, like, the daughter was living at home, did she help at all at home?
She was at the Ropley.
During the war?
No, it was after the Second War. They were grown up then, you know, starting to go.
But you didn't?
When she left school, she went into the Ropley, she was there. Right till she was married.
But you didn't get, I mean, when you came home, you still had to look after the house?
Oh, I still had, yes, I had a lot of work to do. Yes, I never missed nothing. I kept them clean and looked after their bellies and
see
that they were fed. And I mean, in them days, it was all homemade bread.
Mm-hmm.
And if you went for baking anything, it was cut fresh in the machine.
Yeah.
But the cheese was cut fresh. But now they're put in fridges, mm-hmm. and you don't know how long they've been in. And some of the stuff you're buying has no taste.
Yeah. But you used to have to come home and do all the...
I did all that, did washing and everything.
Yeah.
I've seen me go to bed 1 o'clock in the morning, dead beat.
And they'd have to... And you would be up at 6:30?
6:30 in the morning, yes.
So you were like doing 2 jobs?
I didn't like coming home to all them jobs, you know.
Yeah.
But I liked the shipyard, I loved the work there.
And that was what you meant when you said, what was it you said when you met your friend in the morning? It was like you and Nancy, your
friend. She used to shut her and door, and I used to shut mine, and we used to both say, thank God we're leaving what troubles behind.
Life was much less complicated in the shipyard, was it?
Yes.
Well,
we forgot about our troubles and our worries.
Mm-hmm.
But all at the base of it all, the money. Mm-hmm. You know, there was no money about, and men standing idle. Jarrah got hit awful with the unemployment. It did. Yes, Jarrah got.
Who looked after your husband when you were at work?
Well, he could manage, and he had a man next door that used to take him out. And as I was telling you, we had one night out a week, that was down to Legion. And he enjoyed that. But he loved it. He used to buy tuppenny packets of wood beans. Tuppenny packets of all in. And he that's how he got the bad chest. As I say, eat something on your stomach first. No, he couldn't. Straight into cigarettes. I says, you don't want to do it. And you say, did he? He was lying down and he had the respirator on, couldn't get his breath.
So, but even though, I mean, that's what I was asking you about before. I mean, like, yeah, I mean, you obviously had a hard time with having to look after your husband. But you think you had a good life? Is it?
Well, it was a happy life. I made myself happy, you know. I mean, you lived for your family, and that was all you wanted, really. If I got any old clothes given to us, I used to cut them down to fit the bands, you know, and I was never ashamed of receiving any old clothes, because they were a godsend.
Yeah. Yeah, they would be. End of tape, man.
Session number two. Sorry. Reel four continued.
The thing that I wanted to ask you about, first of all, was how you. You first of all, you worked in the Willington Quay Foundry.
Yes.
Now, when you worked in the Willington Quay Foundry, you were saying that you had to bring. What exactly were you doing? Could you just tell me again what you were doing?
It was really loom, but I used to call it yellow sand.
Yeah.
I had to bring that in by the barrowful, put it by itself, go out again with the barrow, bring me black sand in.
Yeah.
Cut in the corner. Then I had to thoroughly mix them two together.
Mm-hmm.
And put it through a riddle that you set the way, you know.
Yeah.
And the men would keep coming for their boxes, you know, to go back to make their jobs in the ground.
What were they doing? They was.
They were making, you know, if the ships come in crippled, and they wanted little spare parts, you know, perhaps wheels or anything like that. They got that order, they had what they had to make, you see. And then at 3 o'clock, the hot metal came along the top, come down, and went in each of their jobs. And that wasn't touched till the next morning. They were cold.
So you.
And that was the you know, all the little. Things they wanted, you know, for their ships.
So there, you were actually mixing up a kind of base.
Yes.
To go in.
Yes.
The molten metal was set on.
The molten metal had to go in. And then they had women clean hands. They used to clean them, you know, scrape all the, clean the metal job, the job ready for them to be used by the ships.
And how many women were working in the foundry?
Well, the Willington Quay Foundry wasn't very big, and there was about 7 labouring women, and there was 2 cleaners for the metal, and I was on for the facing stand, and I think that was about all. Of course, the men, the moulders used to come from Sheffield and all over. Because where they were, they were sent to different places.
Right.
Used to get them from all over.
But the women all came from the area.
Oh, yes, the area.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And did you know the other women?
Yes.
Yeah, you knew them all?
A lot of them gone now.
Yeah. Yeah. And where did you see the... You said it was an advertisement. Where did you see the advertisement? for the job in the foundry? Where did you?
We went just to the office. The office was near the gate. And we'd heard about these jobs, you know.
Well, how had you heard? That's what I want to know. How had you heard about them?
Just we listened to the women in the shops.
Uh-huh.
And they were saying, oh, such and such wanted women.
Mm-hmm.
And me went, no, I went down and I got a start there. Was me neighbour the next one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I went down and I was taken on straight away. I had to start the next morning.
That's...
And I remember the cashier in the office, Mr. Terry, they called him. And Gaffer called him, he was called Mr. Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
He lived in Byron Avenue. And I was put straight on to the making the face and sand. And it had to be a certain texture, you know. They were very, you know.
Yeah.
I used to, after come through the little, I used to feel really handy, you know, and I knew it was all right.
All right. Who trained you to do it?
Just 2 days I was trained.
Who by?
By one of the labourers.
Uh-huh.
But you see, all the young men were getting sent away to the war.
Uh-huh.
They were glad of the women. And then I had been there a long time when this Mr. Fraser from the North Eastern Foundry came and watched me walking, he was watching me all the time. And when I had gotten the heat mate, Mr. Allen shouted to us over, he says, this is Mr. Fraser from the North Eastern Foundry. So Mr. Fraser shook hands with us, he says, I've come to ask Mr. Allen if I can have you.
Uh-huh.
I says, oh, well, it was only a penny bus ride from our place to the
uh-huh.
Northeastern. And he says, you'll get twice as much money as you're getting here. I was only getting 16 shilling,
mm-hmm.
and I got 30 shilling.
Yeah.
And he says, you'll get overalls and your little round hat to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you won't have to seek your own sand.
Mm-hmm.
The crane will break it, bring it over. And when I got there and started, it was a great big foundry.
Uh-huh.
I had to walk harder,
uh-huh.
but there was more men, but never mind, I liked it.
What about, you said you knew, how did you know when it was right, the sand?
Well, the first time a man came with the box and he felt it, he says, just the right moisture.
Uh-huh.
It hadn't to be too dry and it hadn't to be too wet. And all the praises they said, I mean, I was a good there. You know,
so you didn't make any mistakes?
I never made any mistakes.
Uh-huh.
And when the hot metal come at 3 o'clock, I was practically finished.
Uh-huh.
Just had them to make a heap up for the next morning before it went through the riddle.
Uh-huh.
Just to put through the an hour. I used to straighten nails, straighten out to put the time until we were finished. 5 o'clock.
What time did you start?
7:30 in the morning until 5 o'clock at night.
Or did you have a dinner hour?
Oh yes, we had from 12 to 1,
mm-hmm.
I had a dinner.
And
I could, I used to just take sandwiches, because
mm-hmm.
it was a penny bus ride, you know, and I wouldn't have had time. And my mother used to have a nice dinner for us when I was finished, you know, about 5:30 when I got home. But I enjoyed every minute of it.
Alright, so what did you feel, I mean, well, you were 16 when you went into the foundry, and I mean, there were, before you went in, there must have been no women working there at all.
Yes.
And what do you feel like? You know, you're going into what's basically a man's world, and how did you feel about that?
Well, I don't know. You know, I used to think when I went into before I started work in any of the places. I used to think, men worked hard and they were tired when they come home, my father, you know that. And when I started, the men used to be running at 9 o'clock when I came to the cafe to get cans of tea and sit down. And I said, where are you?
So you think you found out that it was all a bit of a con?
It was, yeah.
So does that mean you didn't think the work? Well, I mean, when you say men used to come home and they were tired and all that, I mean, does that mean you didn't They were having you on, do you reckon? Because you knew what it was like. Do you think that's? I mean, it's some. I mean, how did the men in the foundry react to you? I mean, to you, a woman coming in. What did they think?
It was a funny experience, you know, wasn't it? I mean, for me to go into a shipyard in for foundry, but I don't know. I just seemed to take it me straight.
But how did the men feel about it? What were their reactions to you?
They had no other option. They were very nice minded. I couldn't say anything else. And if one of them used to swear, the other one used to say, there's a woman there. And they would say, hey, I forgot. But they got used to it to finish. And we got used to them. They were very nice. And you know, they would always give you advice if you wanted it.
Yeah.
Very kind they were.
Did this sort of make you, I mean, you worked there, you went to the North Eastern Marine and you worked, and when the war finished,
uh-huh.
You were finished.
Yes, because the lads were coming home, you
did
know, they wanted their jobs back.
Did the men who were in the yards, in the foundry in the North Eastern, did they make you aware of the fact that you were only there for the duration?
Oh, uh-huh. We knew, like, when the war was over, the lads would come home.
They told you that?
Yes. It was natural. They wanted their jobs back.
Uh-huh.
So we all felt, we were doing our best. We're doing our little bit. And I was a big, hefty lass, strong lass. I'm gone little now. I'm deteriorating. But you'll be asking us questions on the second war.
Yeah. Oh, no. Well, I like... No, because, I mean, you must remember there are not many women who actually...
In the world, First World War.
So it's worth talking about. We're still alive, you see. What I want to think... Would you have liked to have stayed working in the foundry? I mean...
Yes, if the war had gone on longer, I would have done how it went on.
What about peacetime, though? I mean, if, you know, the war was over, would you have liked to have stayed in?
Yes.
In peacetime and maybe sort of work there all your life.
Yes, I would.
So
it was very nice. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Yes, it was very nice.
And were you working, were the kind of work you were doing, were there any men doing that work as well as you?
No, I was the only one making prison sound.
Right.
Just myself. I kept them all going.
Uh-huh.
But they hadn't the canteen.
Yeah.
Not at the foundry.
No.
The North East don't have me, but the Wilton King was a...
But tea breaks were official, were they? I mean,
yes, oh yes. You could go and get a cup of tea for about 10 minutes. You had you know, you hadn't the dawdle over it. You know, you had to get on with it and hurry back to your job.
Were the foreman very strict?
He was a very nice man, Mr. Ireland. Very, very nice.
Mm.
Couldn't ask for better. He appreciated, you know, what we did.
Yeah, yeah.
He was very kind.
Do you think all the men appreciated what you did?
They did. They used to clap me on the back.
What about... What about what in the Second World War? I mean... how did you find out about Clallans? You just...
Well, the woman next door, a man walked in Clemens.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, our family was getting up a bit. And he had told her that Clemens was wanting women. So she come in to tell us.
Mm-hmm.
So she says, what about the two? We're going down and see if we can get a start.
Yeah.
So the two we went and they had all the women in the big ring, you know, that was there looking for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And they picked about 12 labouring women.
Mm-hmm.
Then they picked two for the electrician. We had that one place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then they picked two for the fitting shop.
Yeah.
And then he came to me and my mate, and the gaffer was stunned. He says, I'll have them two, the big strong girls. And we were picked for the carpenters.
Right.
And I enjoyed myself there.
Mm-hmm.
We had to put dirty aprons on when the ship was coming in, mm-hmm. and we had to go right down to the bottom of the cradle. Mm-hmm. She took one the wheels up, and I took the other wheels up. You know, it run on wheels. It had the hydraulic machine at the top, and that used to pull the ship on.
Right.
And she took one, say, when I peel and I stick, and I took the other. Mm-hmm. And do you know that man that was in that machine? He said the cradle had never run as smooth as what was when we started. Yeah. He says the lads that was on it must have been just having a bit of fun. But he says, it goes with no bother now.
Yeah.
And we used to clean lifeboats out when the ships come in and they paint them. And it's funny, but the foreman painter, if he wanted, he only had about 5 men working for him, and if he was short, he always come for us too, for me and my mate, and we used to paint. At one cradle, they used to have the build the small steel the boats, you know.
Yeah.
And at this big cradle, that was where the big ships come in to be mended, you know, after being shot and everything. Yeah. And we used to grease that cradle, and we in this foreman paint, I used to come forward, could he have asked our foreman, if we weren't busy, could he have the lend of the tour for the deal? And we used to go around the new tugboats that had been built, and underneath where you lent on, you know, the arm that goes the sides of the ship, well, underneath there we had all white paint, we went right round the white paint. And me and I used to go walking on and on, and many men using bad language, and we took no notice. It was men's jobs, it was men's life. We had nothing to do with them. If they wanted to swear, we had to shut where he is.
But do you think it's, I see that, but do you think it should have been men's life, you see? I mean, in a way, from all the women I've talked to, they all enjoyed it, they all had a great time.
Yes.
And I mean, maybe things should have been different. The women should have been still allowed, you know.
Yes.
What do you think about?
Of course, we had to remember that a lot of lads were short of men, you know.
Yeah.
They were all getting called up. That they had to have women.
You see, one of the things is that women, again, women that I've talked to, one of the things they really liked about it was the money. Bit of independence.
Oh, well, it was hard up times. They were very glad of the money.
Yeah.
Yes. But on the other hand, I liked it. And I thought we were doing a little bit.
Do you think, though, it gives you, because you do a job like that, so you get independence?
Yes.
Did you get that? You got that?
Oh, yes.
But you see, it's only the war that you got that chance.
We just got that chance in the war.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You think you should have had it other times?
Yes. You see, other times when I was finished there, I had to go out, maybe clean a big house out for people better than myself. You only got a half a crown.
Yeah.
If you went out to a day's washing, you only got a half a crown.
Yeah, other times you'd do women's work, wouldn't you?
Yes.
You wouldn't do what they call it.
Wouldn't do shipyard work, no. Oh, no.
But, I mean, northeastern women, I mean, it's sort of this act. Sort of view that their place is very definitely in the home, you know.
Yes, yes.
And maybe what I'm trying to sort of get at is perhaps, you know.
Well, it wouldn't have been right if you had little bairns, children. I mean, you couldn't go and leave children. I think they were practically all that had their families, you know, between the 30s and the 50s.
Yeah.
That they had their families up a bit. But, I don't know.
Do you think
I liked it.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that, you know, you were saying to me that I'm doing this work on women. Do you think the women who worked in the wars have been neglected? And people haven't taken much notice of what they did?
Well, I think they should have been mentioned, shouldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every time you, the southern people, they were always getting praised. And I used to many times say, well, I've never heard a good word about the Northeast. And Northeast women worked hard. There was a lot of them went out to work, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's even when they went out of work at other times apart from the war, didn't they? I mean,
yes. Yeah. Hey,